Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the debut episode of Little Sister Podcast. I am your host, William, and I'm joined today with my fellow friend and book club member, Camille.
Hey, everybody.
We were expecting our last member, James, to also be with us, but unfortunately, he was not able to make it today due to sickness. Let us hope that he will be able to join us for the next podcast. So, this series will be a discussion revolving around one of the most well-known books in academia and a high school classroom staple, 1984. So, George Orwell wrote this book in 1948, shortly after the conclusion of World War II. It was largely inspired by the communist regime led by the Russian Soviet Union. Orwell comes from a generation of socialists who had supported the Russian Revolution, even having fought for the socialism in the Spanish Civil War. When he learned of Stalin's barbarity, however, he was greatly disillusioned with how it played out. Stalin believed that by controlling man's mind, the party controls the truth. So, Orwell wrote 1984 as a denunciation of Stalinism, but it also serves as a warning to the world that it is possible to dehumanize man completely and for life to still be able to go on. So, so far in the book, we've been introduced to our main character, Winston, who lives in a dystopian nation called Oceania, but specifically in where is now England. He works as a manipulator of text, right? So he alters publications to align with the party being Ingsoc. There are flyers and posters everywhere of this guy, and it's always captioned with "Big Brother is watching you." And that's true, because there are cameras and microphones installed essentially everywhere, and a group of people that work for the government called the Thought Police are constantly monitoring the population. And this Big Brother is thought to be like the leader of this of the party. So this is a totalitarian society where the government controls every aspect of life, from what people do to what they're allowed to think. At home, people are constantly being monitored through their TV screen, and they're never allowed to turn it off. People are not allowed to make friends, to love, or have any kind of sexual affair. Winston keeps a diary where he writes about his doubts and skepticism of the government, despite knowing that it is extremely illegal. Later on, he has a sexual affair with a brunette from work, which is also illegal. So we leave off our previous checkpoint with him talking to her about an organization called Brotherhood and his desire to revolt against the government, but she makes it clear to him that she's not as into it as he is.
So I guess we can get into it. So we know that this woman, Julia, she has this kind of relationship with Winston, mm-hmm. and we know that they get very intimate at during the book. And she's breaking the law, she's going against this kind of totalitarian regime, even though she works for the government at the Ministry of Truth. Now, my question is, she doesn't want to make a change, but she wants to break the rules so much throughout this book. See, I just don't really understand, if you don't agree with something, but you're still constantly breaking the rules, like, against it, mm-hmm. why doesn't she want to make a change throughout the novel?
Yeah, so I think she's the kind of person who's, like, low-key against the government, but she doesn't want to really do that much about it. So she's, like, she has issues with it. She doesn't completely agree with it, but... And we see that she, like, does some things that are clearly illegal by that government standards.
No, so there's always been skepticism about whether she is part of the Thought Police and she's just trying to get something out of
Winston. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, so it hasn't really been established.
Yeah, so she's like kind of a mysterious character who kind of does things, she clearly does things that are contradictory.
So what do you think her reason is for, doing all these kinds of illegal actions, kind of still having this, having these kind of sexual relationships with others, knowing well and fair that it's illegal, but she doesn't want to bring a change so that to make it legal. She obviously doesn't fear the government if she's willing to break the law.
She's kind of like a confusing character, but I think she just wants to, like, fulfill her, like, personal, I guess, desire of rebellion. So, but, like, you know, clearly, like, there's, like, when it comes to rebellion, there's, like, some little things you can do, and there's also big things. And I think she just doesn't want to commit to, like, the really big things. But as long as she does something that she sees as rebellious, it gives her, like enough sense of rebellion that she's, like, satisfied with it.
So think that's really contradictory to the main character, Winston, who kind of, from the very beginning of the novel, he starts writing this journal, which is extremely illegal. And he has this kind of strange ideology where it's like he thinks that freedom is the right to think that 2 + 2 = 4. And that kind of got me thinking about the thing I'm questioning is how do people really know the truth? So we know that 2 + 2 = 4, and that's kind of like his most basic idea. Mm-hmm. But if he thinks everyone has the right to think the truth, how does everybody really know what the truth is? Because in such a government such as this, Winston's entire job throughout the novel is throw things in the memory hole, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so throw them in the memory hole and just get rid of all these kind of documentations of the past. Mm-hmm. And he creates these kind of fictional war heroes even, which just give people ideas. And after a while, this kind of creates a society that's all built on lies, but once that lie is forgotten, what was the quote you were... But once this kind of lie is forgotten, that it's a lie.
Something along the lines of, once the act of forgery is forgotten, the lie becomes the truth, yeah.
Yeah. So, that was a really interesting concept throughout that, and whether that forgery or that lie kind of is the truth. Mm-hmm. And we know that Winston has some memory of the past, which kind of makes him corrupt by the standards of the government.
Do we know the exact age of Winston? Because, like, was he born before this government or after?
Well, we know he has memories of the past, so it would kind of...
So somehow the government was able to make him forget, like, the past. At least I feel like the people in this society are, like, just, like, I don't know if brain dead is the word, but, like, they don't really... Most people have been brainwashed by the government to the point where they don't really, like, question things, you know? But then I also try to see from their perspective, like, if I were in this society and I was constantly being fed like the same message over and over again, eventually if you say something over and over again, we start accepting it as truth, you know? The controlling of language is like one of the main ways that this government controls the people, because by controlling language, you're constricting like thoughts of people.
Definitely do have more thought, and our language isn't like this with the newspeak. There was one interesting part about the newspeak where it was like, there's no point of having good and bad. You can just, if you have good and ungood, it's a direct opposite. And like those kind of small things, just getting rid of small words like that, just kind of minimizes and it takes away a depth of language that we sometimes take for granted. So
yeah.
A lot of us speak kind of really simple terms, and it's easy to say, yeah, he's good, he's bad, that movie was boring, but you could always add a level of depth and say, yeah, he wasn't just good, he was incredible, yeah, he wasn't bad, he was gruesome.
So next thing I want to talk about are, like, the metaphors, so, like, doublethink, right? So they have a lot of phrases in the book that are clearly, like, oxymoronic. So they have, like, things like war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. So what do you think about these phrases, and if you think it's true? So what do you think about ignorance is strength? When I see this phrase, it makes me think of ignorance is bliss, right? So I think ignorance, I don't really agree that ignorance is strength. But I do agree that ignorance is bliss, because when you're like the proles in the book, where you don't really know what's going on, right? If you're a very, very simple minded person who doesn't really think about the issues of the world, you don't really think about things like responsibility. That's when you're like very stress free, right? And if you're really stress free, that's when you're like, you know, happy, you know.
So, all right, we're going to leave you off all with this. We'd like to hear your thoughts. Please reach out to us. What do you guys think? Is war really peace? Is freedom considered slavery? And is ignorance really strength? Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.